Shalom to all. Today's Avos Chol Daf Nun Beis. We are starting right at the top of the Amud. And today's Avos sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Mars Merim Sar Bas Biaka Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. Now we're discussing Nefulu with birds, meaning a bird fell down on something. And the question is, are we chashish for Risik Evarim, which makes it a trefa, or there's no chashash? And we already had a number of examples. Like Mark continues, Chayil Hadak Lo Chashinon, Chayil Hagaz Chashinon. If it fell on very thin, fine sand, there's no chashash. But if it's thick, coarse sand, then we are chashash. Avak Durachim Chashinon. If it fell on dust or dirt of the road, then we are chashash. That's because it doesn't cushion the blow. What about Tivna, it fell on straw, va'avid bazga, but it was turned into a bundle, chashinan, that we are chashish, because it's hard, whereas la'avid bazga, if it wasn't a bundle, le'chashinan, that we're not chashish. Something similar, chite, if it fell on wheat, v'chaldim nayu, and anything like it, such as rye, chashinan, that we are chashish, whereas sari, barley, v'chaldim nayu, anything like that, we have to add a very important word into the girsa, le'chashinan, we're not chashish. Also, kulminate kitnis, ampan mishim rusuke varim, all sorts of kitnis, which is like legumes, different types of beans, we're not chashish, there's no chashash rusuke varim, levarim and rubia, except for rubia, which is translated by Rashi as fenugreek. There's a chashash of Rizke Varim. Chimti, ain't by Mishum Rizke Varim. Peas do not cause an issue of Rizke Varim. Whereas Chefti, which is a different type of pea, some translate as chickpeas, Yash Mishum Rizke Varim, there's a chashash of Rizke Varim. And Klaatim also, this is a general rule. Call me the Mishrek, anything which is slippery, ain't by Mishum Rizke Varim, there's no Rizke Varim, because when the bird falls on it, so it slides off of these things, they don't compact together to be nice and tight, they're very loose and slippery, and therefore it's going to cushion the fall, so there's no chashash of Rizke Varim. Whereas Loi Mishrek, if they're not slippery, Yash Mishum Rizke Varim, then there is a chashash of Rizke Varim. On to another discussion, D-book, which is glue. This is basically a glue trap that people make for birds. It was basically a board with very sticky glue on it. The bird would land on it and get stuck, and then it would fly away. It would have this board on it, which is too heavy for it. I wasn't able to get too far, and it would just flop back down to the ground. So Ravashi Shari Amemar Asar. Ravashi says the bird is mutter. There's no chashash v'rizik evarim, even though it basically crashed to the ground with this board attached to it. Whereas Amemar says it's asar. We have a problem with v'rizik evarim. Now we get into discussion of what exactly machlokes says. Bechad gapa, if it's only connected by one wing, it's only glued and stuck with one wing. No one argues, everyone says it's permitted, it's fine. Keep league yours machlokes, but tregape, if both wings are connected. Manda asa, the one who answers, it's a memar, Amar l'chol, will tell you, hechi nekom, how is it supposed to strengthen itself? It can't lift itself with two wings if both the wings are stuck, and therefore there's going to be risike varim. Manda shari, the one who says, muta, it's ravashi, Amar l'chol, will tell you, asher denekom, ha'ikve dekape, it could hold itself up or lift itself up with the stump of the wing that's basically where it's trimmed, and it's basically able to fly enough that when it lands on the ground, it doesn't smash down, so there's no risike varim. Now, ikadamri, some say that it's the other way around. If both wings were stuck, everyone agrees that it's usher. Keep looking. The machlekes is one who's only just one wing stuck. The one says mutter. That's Ravashi. Amar l'chayu tell you after the parch b'chad gapa, it could fly just with one wing. Whereas manda asar, the one who asers amemar, he would say kiven de'bahai loy matzi parach. Since it's not able to fly with one wing, because that's the one that's stuck with the glue, b'hainami loy matzi parach, is not able to fly with the other one either. And the hilchso, what's halacha? Betreigape usher b'chad gapa shari. If it's glued down with both wings, it's usher, but one wing is mutter. And going on to discuss another one of the trefas of the Mishnah. Nishtab Ritzalaseha, if the majority of its ribs broke, then that's the same in trefa. Now, turn around, we have a braisa. Eluin Ritzalais, this is what it means by the majority of its ribs. Shesh Mikan v'shesh Mikan, six here, six there. Ayachasra Mikan v'achas Mikan, 11 here and one there. Now, what does that mean, 11 here, six there? What's this referring to? So, count for example, that's just the easiest. It has 22 main ribs. It really has more than that, but the main ribs that we count over here in regards to trefas is 22. That's 11 on this side, 11 on that side. And so, when we say Ritzalais, it would have to be six here and six there. That's 12. 12 is the majority of 22, or it'd be all 11 on one side and one on the other side. That's also 12, and that's the majority of 22. Now, Amar Zairi here further clarifies, umechetzen klapi shedra, it has to be halfway through the rib towards the spine. The ribs are quite long. They start from the top of the animal's back, from the spine, wrapping around the animal's body, going almost completely down towards the stomach. As in order for it to be considered trefa, Zairi holds, it has to be broken in the upper half closer towards the spine. In our Rechon, he tells us, ubetzlois gedoil shishmen mayach, it's referring to the large ribs that have mayach, which means marrow, and that's what we had just said before. There's only 22 ribs like that, even though it does have a few more than that. More discussions regarding the ribs. Amar Uli tells us, the Ben Zakkai, Amar Ben Zakkai says, nekru, if the rib got uprooted, and we're going to get into a whole discussion of what that means, uprooted, but for now suffice it to say that it got uprooted and disconnected from the spine, so b'rayv tzad echad, even if the majority of ribs just on one side got uprooted, that already is simen trefa, would just be six, because remember, as we said, there's 11 ribs on each side, so if just six of those got uprooted, that's already simen trefa. Nishtabru, whereas if they broke, Beroyv Shnei Tzadin, it has to be the majority on both sides. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, says, Bein Nekru, Bein Nishtabru, whether they got uprooted or broken, Beroyv Shnei Tzadin, it has to be the majority of both sides, like we start out the Gemara with. Now, Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Nekru Tzela, V'chul Yo'ima, Trefa. If the Tzela, the rib, and the Chulya, the vertebrae of the spine, got uprooted together, so then it's a Trefa. And this is even though it was just one rib. So Amar Rav Kan Ravasi, the Rav, Rav Kan Ravasi asked Rav, Nekru Tzela Mikan, Vit Tzela Mikan, V'chul Yo'ima, Mahu. What about if the rib on this side and the rib on that that side, meaning the two opposing ribs, they both got pulled out, but the chulia, the vertebrae, that's still there. Nothing happened to it. What's the din? So Amar Lahu, Rav responded to them, Gistra Kamrisu, you're talking about Gistra? Gistra literally means the animal's cut in half. In other words, Rav's telling them, you're asking me a question about an animal cut in half. Not only is that animal a trefa, it's actually worse than a trefa. It's an avela, and it's tame and it's metame. We know they were much more machmir with an avela than a trefa. In other words, Rav is telling them that this is much worse than my case. I'm just talking about one rib being uprooted. You're saying two ribs, that's an avela. Ask the Gemara, Vaha Rav Nami Gistra Ka'amar. Rav's case also is a situation of Gistra, because one rib was uprooted with the chulia, with the vertebrae. That means that the rib that's attached to the other side is also shifted out of place, because the thing that's holding it, which is the vertebrae, that was out of place. So it must be that really both ribs were out of place. So even Rav's case, when he just said one rib, is no different than Rav Kana Ravasi's case. So what's he responding to them? My answer is, Kikama Rav, Tsela Beloy Chulia. Rav is really talking about the rib without the chulia, meaning the vertebrae remained in place. Ask the Gemara, Vaha Tsela Vachulia Ka'amar. Rav said very clearly, Tsela and its chulia and its vertebrae. How could we say the chulia was still in place? The answer is no. Tsela Vachatzi Chulia. Rav was saying that Tsela got uprooted and only part of the chulia. When it says Chatzi over here means half, in other words, part of the chulia got uprooted, but not the entire chulia. That whole thing wasn't torn out of place. In that case, it's only trefa, it's not nevela. Ask the Gemara, Machal, this is Mashma, Rav Kana Ravasi, that when they were asking their question, Tsela Beloy Chulia Amri, they were asking regarding a Tsela without the chulia. Because they were asking about the Tsela with the chulia, then that's the same case of Rav. If anything, it's worse. So it must be they were asking something totally different. So they were asking about two tselas, two ribs that were on the opposite sides of the body, meaning they were just corresponding to each other. They got pulled out, but the chulia was still in place. And Va'amar Lahu, nonetheless, Rav told them, Gistra Kamrisu, that you're asking me a question about Gistra, which means it's considered nevela. And the problem with that is that Va'amar Ula, Ula had just said before, the Ben Zakkai Amar, Ben Zakkai said, the Nekru, if the tzela got uprooted, Beroiv Tzad Echad, that's the majority of the ribs on one side, and Nishtar, if it broke, Beroiv Shnei Tzadim, that's the majority on both sides. And the question they asked Rav is Nekru of only one rib on either side. So how could Rav be so machmir when Ula is quoting Ben Zakkai saying that even when we're dealing with Nekru, it's only the majority of ribs on one side, which is six, not one? The answer is, Rav would tell you, Hasam Zeshle Kenegedzeh. Over there, we're talking about ribs that are not opposing each other, they're not corresponding on the opposite sides. Therefore, you need the majority of ribs. But Hach over here, Zeshle Kenegedzeh, we're talking about two ribs that are corresponding to each other on the opposite sides of the body, and there, even though it's just two, that's already going to be a problem. The Gemara is asking, though, Vam Rabbi Yechon had said that Beroiv Shnei Tzadim, we need to have the Roiv of both sides, and Beroiv Shnei Tzadim, when you have the majority of ribs on both sides, it's impossible not to have at least two of them corresponding to each other on the opposite sides, and still we see that according to Rabbi Yechon, you'd have to have the majority of the ribs uprooted in order to say that it's a trefa. So how could Rav say that we just have two ribs on the opposite sides of each other corresponding, that that's already a simon trefa, and really, as he had said, it's an avela, it's a gistra. Square answer is no, it's still different. Hasam buchna b'lay asisa, hacha buchna ve'asisa. Buchna literally means a pestle, and asisa is a mortar. That's what they used to use for crushing up spices. The pestle was like the stick that had a ball at the end, and the mortar was the cup that the spices were placed into, and then the pestle would crush them up, and this is a nice tight fit, the pestle and the mortar, and that's just being used as a mushal to explain the difference between the cases. In other words, Rabbi Yechon says that you have to have roiv shnei tzadim, the majority of both ribs uprooted in order for it to be a trefa. That's talking about when the buchna, the pestle, which is the rib itself, was uprooted, but without that sisa, without the mortar, meaning the vertebrae, the chulia, still remained in place. Whereas according to Rav, the buchna and that sisa were uprooted, everything was pulled out, therefore even just two makes an nevela. Asking Rabbi Yechon, if that's so, hainu de Rav, then that's the same thing as Rav. Meaning, when Rav Kana Rav Asi were asking, what about two ribs? They're both attached to the same chulia. If they got uprooted, what's the din? So you're basically asking Rav the same question that he had just given a psak about. He had said this regarding one rib, and they were asking regarding two ribs. What's the difference? Why are they asking him this question? It's the same thing. The more answer is Lo Shmielu de Rav. They didn't hear what Rav had said. They didn't hear that Rav had paskined that if one rib got uprooted with its chulia, it's a trefa. That's why they asked a question about two ribs, but obviously if they would have heard Rav, then they wouldn't have asked their question. So Gemara continues asking, why don't they just ask him like his own shita? Meaning Rav had said one rib uprooted with its chulia. They didn't hear what he had said, so why didn't they just ask him, Rav, what's the din with one rib getting uprooted from its chulia? Why do they start with asking about two as opposed to asking perhaps the more basic question regarding one? So the Gemara answers, Savri, they thought to themselves as follows. Let's ask him one question that we're going to have two questions answered when he responds to that one question of ours. It's two for the price of one, as they say. If we're going to ask him only one, meaning if we're going to ask him only about one rib that's uprooted with the chulia, so hanicha yamrlan trefa, it would be good if he tells us it's a trefa, kol shekein tarti, so we'll know for sure that if there's two ribs that are uprooted with a chulia, then that's also a trefa. But yamrlan kshera, if he tells us that one rib uprooted is a kshera, akati tarti kamei bayalan, we're still going to have a question regarding two. Therefore, we ask about two, and mimela will know about one. Ask the Gemara, still we have a problem. Ihachi, if that's so, hashtanami, the kabayim minei tarti. Tarti, now they're asking him about two ribs, we could still run into an issue. It would be good if he told him that it's kosher, kosher ken chada. For sure, if just one rib was uprooted, of course that's kosher. But if he tells them that two ribs uprooted with the chulia is a treifa, so they would still have a question regarding one. What about one? Maybe one rib uprooted is not a treifa. So they would still have that same problem. Once again, going back to our question, why did they ask him regarding two ribs? They should have asked him the more basic one about one. So the answer is that no, savri, they figured, im kain, if that's really so, meaning if when just one rib is uprooted, that's considered a treifa, and we're asking him about two, mirtach karatach, he's going to get upset at us and tell us, chad treifa tarti mubaya, that one of them is a treifa, two you're asking me about, and then we'll have an answer to our question. The Gemara is asking, they still didn't get an answer to their question. They asked him this question, and he didn't get angry at them in his answer, and so they still didn't have an answer, what about one? And the response to that is that no, keep the ka'amr lahu, since Rav's response to them was as follows, gistra kamrisu, you're asking me about a gistra, about an animal cut in half, hainu rischei, that's his expression of anger, frustration towards their question, and so actually Rav responded exactly how they wanted him to. They asked him, what about two ribs being uprooted? And his response was, you're asking me about gistra? Of course that's a problem. And then they're able to make a mashmaiz that one for sure is a problem. And we continue discussing this, amr Rav Shila, amr Masna, amr Shmuel, nekrot salamei kara, let's say the rib was uprooted from the ikr, from its base, or vigogad shenachmasa beruba, the skull was majority crushed, or ubasar chafez reve karas berubai, flesh that covers the majority of the keres, the majority of that had a problem with it, treifa, so it's a treifa. Now we just talk about the first thing that he mentioned, because that's a discussion at hand, nekrot salamei kara, treifa, if a rib got uprooted from its base, it's a treifa. Remember, we have yistira from what Shmuel himself said, nunam beza on top, we already had the following Mishnah quote earlier in the Gemara, kam chisar b'shedra, how much has to be missing from the spine of a human in order to say that it's not matam ba'ayol? B'shamay Ayim B'shamay says, shtei chulyos, two chulyos, two vertebrae, b'shel Ayim chulya achas, b'shel says one chulya, v'amr b'hudamr Shmuel, so here we have a memra in the name of Shmuel, v'chein l'treifa, same thing by a treifa. As we see from here, that Shmuel himself holds that the only way the animal's a treifa is if the vertebrae, the chulya, was removed, not just the rib from the base, but he just said before that it's the rib from the base. And the answer is that hacha tzela b'loy chulya, hasam chulya b'loy tzela. Over there in this first memra of Shmuel, he's talking about just the rib being pulled out without the chulya, and that does make it a treifa, whereas in this memra that he just said in regards to the spine, he's talking about just the chulya without the rib. In other words, there's a way for it to become a treifa that the vertebrae, the chulya, is out of place, even though the rib wasn't removed, and therefore there's no stira. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam tzela b'chulya mishkachasla, we understand this makes sense to have a rib pulled out of the chulya, even though the chulya is in place, that's perfectly okay, it's understandable. You can have the chulya of the shadra, the vertebrae of the spine, everything's perfectly fine, nothing's moved, but the rib was pulled out of its socket. How do you have the vertebrae was pulled out, it was removed, it was out of place, but the rib is still in place? That just simply makes no sense. And the answer is that actually it could be b'shili kafli, at the end of the animal, meaning the back, after the ribs stop, but the spine still continues, so that section of spine, you could have the chulya removed without the ribs being removed, because over there are no ribs. So that answers the seeming stira in Shita Shmuel. Now we just ask another question. Maskal Rav Shai, Rav Shai asks as follows. If what Shmuel had said is true, that v'chein l'treifa, the machloikas b'sham b'shilol regarding the spine of a person and when it's matam ba'ayol is the same machloikas in regards to simani treifa of an animal, so l'snai gabi kule b'sham b'chorm b'shilol. Teach it by the kules of b'sham and the chorm of b'shilol. We have a mission that lists all the kules of b'sham and the chorm of b'shilol, because usually it's the other way around, and over here specifically, it turns out to be a kula of b'sham and a chorm b'shilol. So why was that not included in that list? So Amalei Rav, it's really Amalei Rava. Rava told him, ki itchel in yuntuma itchel. When this was brought up, when this was discussed regarding how many chulyas have to be missing in order for it to be considered a not full spine, that was specifically in regards to tuma, meaning tuma's oil of a human spine. Da'avlu b'sham el chumra, over there b'sham is l'chumra. So even though Shmuel came along and commented, by the way, you should know it's the same thing in regards to treifas, that wasn't the main discussion. The main discussion was about tuma, and in regards to tuma, b'sham is l'chumra. So therefore, even though yes, it does come out from the discussion that b'sham is l'kula in regards to something else, since that's not the main discussion, it's not brought in the list of things that b'sham is l'kula about. We just continue discussing Shita Shmuel. He had said three cases. The first one was about a rib. Now we go on to the next one. The majority of the skull was crushed, and the question is by Rabbi Yirmiyahu, he asks as follows: Roiv Gaiva, is that the majority of the height of the skull, which is from the eyes and upwards? That's where the skull of the animal banks sharply upwards. So we do chashvin it by Roiv over there. Oy Roiv Akefa, or the majority of the circumference, and we conclude Teku. On to the next one. We had said Ubasar Chaver Roiv Keres Brubai, the flesh that covers the majority of the keres. The majority of that, if it has a problem, we're going to discuss what exactly that problem is in a moment. But if it has a problem, so that's going to be a treifa. So by Ravashi, Ravashi asks, Beroiv Karua or Beroiv Nuttle, does that mean the majority of it is torn, or the majority of it has to be removed in order for it to be considered a treifa? So Gemara suggests, Tifshei Leimi Nan, why don't we just learn from what our Mishnah said? Keresapanim is Shenikva, if the inner keres has a hole, Oy Shenikra Roiv Achitzona, or the majority of the outer keres is torn, that's a treifa. And Varmai Rav and Mishmei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, they said in Eretz Yisrael and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, we have this couple of daf ago, kol karas kulay zui karas apnimi, his entire first stomach, that's considered the karas apnimi, and vezu karas achitzoino, what's a karas achitzoino? Basar achayfis reva karas. That's the skin, that's the flesh, the muscle that covers the majority of the karas, and that's basically the bottom of the animal facing the ground. And it says very clearly that it has to be torn, not removed. So wouldn't that be a good answer? It says the Gemara, midu taima el shmuel. Isn't this whole question in the first place in shita shmuel? What does shmuel mean when he says basar achayfis reva karas? Whereas the answer is being basar from Yossi bar Chanina, and actually Shmuel argues with him, as we had earlier. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Nachmani Amar Shmuel. So here we see what Shmuel's shita is. Makam she'in by milas, that the keres apnimi is the part of the keres that doesn't have these fluffy wool things inside of it, and that's what the keres apnimi is. Keres achitzoni is the part that does have that fluffy wool stuff on it, and therefore we can't use Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina to answer what Shmuel holds, because Shmuel clearly argues with him, and we conclude without an answer for what Shmuel means when he says basar chayfa reva keres. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss the last trait for the Mishnah, which is Udrusa Zaev, and we had translated Drusa meaning clawed by a wolf, and Rashi in the Mishnah already had said that when a wolf claws an animal, it has eres, it has poison in the claws that goes into the animal and will eventually turn it into a trefa. We already said that even though nowadays we don't know of any sort of poison that's in the claws of a wolf, that's probably referring to some sort of bacteria of sorts. Rashi over here though continues using his lashon of eres, and that's what we're going to be going with as well. So the Gemara tells us, Amar Yehuda Marav bebehema menazev lamala, when we're talking about animals, so the attacking animal that could make it a trefa with its claws being diris it as anything from a wolf and up, meaning a wolf, bear, lion, something like that. And we're dealing with birds that were attacked by a bird of prey. It's only a bird of prey called a nates, that and anything larger than it, which is that it would make a bird a trefa because it was diris it, because it clawed it, but not anything smaller. Asking where Lamute Mai, what's Rav coming to exclude when he says from wolf and up? He's coming to exclude a cat, namely if a cat attacked an animal and clawed it, that's not going to make it a trefa because of drusa. Well, that's not a chedish because Tanina, we already learned that in the Mishnah. It tells us, Udrusas has a ave, only a wolf. And that clearly tells us, not a cat. And we want to suggest that Hakamash Milan, what's the Mishnah teaching us? Does a ave bagasa nami daris, that a wolf, even when it attacks a large animal, such as a cow, it still makes it a daros. But a cat actually would be able to make a smaller animal a trefa. That can't be because Vatana, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Huda tells us, Udrusas has a ave bedako, Udrusas are ribagasa, that a wolf on a small animal and a lion on a large animal. So we see that even when we're dealing with small animals that were attacked by wild ones, the only type of wild animal that can make a small animal a drusa is a wolf, and not anything smaller than that. And if you want to suggest Rabbi Yehuda Miflag Palig, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakama, that's not true. Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes, Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes says, "Shem Rabbi Law, Lai Bar Rabbi Yehuda El Farish Devar Chachamim." Rabbi Yehuda is only coming to explain the Chachamim, not argue with him. So back to original question: what's Rav coming to Mechadesh when he says the only type of wild animal that's able to make a kosher animal a trefa by clawing it is a wolf, and not anything smaller than that? It seems to be that that's our mifurish in the Mishnah. So first of all, the Gemara answers, Gavra Karamis, you're asking one man to Amar on another one. You're right that Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes says that Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing with a Chachamim. But it could be that Rav holds that he is arguing. And therefore, Rav's Chiddush could be very simple, that according to the Chachamim, a wolf is the smallest animal that's able to make something drusa, not anything smaller than that. You might say, alternatively, you could say that really Rav agrees with Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes, but still, La'el Mute Chasol, Rav is nonetheless coming to exclude a cat, and that's still able to be read in the Mishnah. Why is that? Because Ma'al Tema, you still might have thought in the Mishnah that Urcha de Milsa Katani, it's just simply telling us what's the norm. The norm is that a wolf attacks an animal, but it's still possible that if a cat attacked an animal, it does make a drusa. Kamash Shmuel, the Chiddush is, Rav is telling us that no, it's only a wolf and not anything smaller than that. We're discussing this with other Manda Amrim, Amrav Chasida, Chasol, Unemia, Begadim Utlaim, and if a Chasol, a cat, or Unemia, which Rashi translates as a marten, some sort of small animal like this, if either of them attacked, Gedim, which are small goats, Utlaim are lambs, the small sheep, so that's actually going to make it a drusa, and drusa is chulda, ba'ifas, even a weasel, which is smaller than that, if it attacks birds, that's going to make it a drusa. As the Gemara Mesa, we have a brisa, drusas chasol nates unemia achetina kibul chalal. If a chasol nates, which is a bird, or unemia, this marten animal, if it was diris, if it clawed, the only way it's going to be considered a trefa is if its claws went all the way through to the chalal, to the hollow, meaning to the main body cavity of the animal, and only then it's going to be considered a trefa, but that's not the classic case of drusa, as this brisa is definitely not like Rav Amram Shem Rav Chasida. So before answering this question, Rav Amram, we ask a different question. Vatisba nates leidaris, do we think that a nates, which is this type of bird, is not able to be diris? What do you mean, Vatanan? The Mishnah itself tells us Udrusas anates, that a nates is able to be diris. So how can the Brisa say that a nates is not able to be diris? So the answer to that is Halakasha, no problem. Kamba ifes, kamba gdim utlayim. Our Mishnah is talking about birds, meaning a nates, which is a bird. If it claws a different bird, that can make it a trefa. But the Brisa is talking about where this nates bird attacked goats and lambs, and that's not able to make it a regular drusa. Going back to the original question, Mikomakum or Chizda Kasha, either way of a question or Chizda, he had said that a chasol anemia is able to be diris goats and lambs, whereas the Brisa said it's not able to be diris them in the standard way. So my answer is you're right, that's a good question, but who who damer katana. Rav Chisda holds like a different tana. The tana you have Raisa, Berivi Aimer. Berivi says, Lo amru ein drusa el makam shein matzilin. It only says there's no din of drusa, specifically by a chassel, by a cat, except if there's no matzilin, meaning if nobody's trying to save the animal that the cat is attacking, so then there's no din of drusa. Abul makam sheish matzilin. But if there's matzilin, if there's somebody or something trying to save the animal that the cat is attacking, yes, drusa, then there is drusa. The cat attacks its prey more viciously because something's trying to save it, and then it is diracid, as Rashi says, it does inject its poison inside. Ask the Gemara, is that really true? If there's nobody trying to save the thing the cat's attacking, there's no drusa, what does that mean? There was a chicken, there was an house of Kahana, there was a cat chasing after it, it wanted lunch, it was hungry, it was a delicious looking chicken, and the chicken ran into a room, and it somehow managed to slam the door in the cat's face, and the cat scratched the door with its sichuf, which Rashi translates as pluta, and the footnote on the side basically says that's its foot, and we would translate that as its paw. Basically, the cat scratched the door with its paw, and five drops of blood were found on the door, and that must be the five drops of poison that came out from the cat's claw. So we see that even though nothing was trying to save the chicken from the cat, nonetheless, there was still poison coming out of the cat's claw. So it seems to be the Bribi's not correct about this. The Gemara answers, it's saving itself is just like someone else trying to save it, and so the cat is just as upset and ferocious and vicious and mean when the chicken is trying to save itself, so therefore poison does come from it, and it is able to be a drusa. Now the question is Rabbanon, what about the Rabbanon, how do they answer for this? Because they hold that a cat anyway can't make something a drusa, even if it's mad. The answer is there a zira islay, v'lay kali zira? It has a zira, it has this poison, but it's not kali, which is lashon of burning over here. Even though when we use this word kali by grain, it means toasted, over here with poison, it means burn, meaning this poison of the cat's claw doesn't burn enough to make the animal a treifa. Some explains machlekes the other way around. Hamani beribihi, meaning who knows what Chizda go like, so it's not a question on him. He goes like beribi. The time of Rashi beribi says loy amru yesh drusa el makam sheish matzilin. They only said that a cat is able to make something a drusa if there is matzilin, if there's something trying to save the prey from the cat. Avul makam shein matzilin in drusa, but there's no one trying to save it, then there's no drusa. Now in this ikedamri, in this version, the rabbanon argue with beribi and they hold the other way around that the cat is always able to be diress, even if there's nothing trying to save its prey. We're still going to be asking the same question on Beribi. What if there's nobody trying to save? There's no drusa from the cat? What about this chicken that was in Rukana's house? A cat was chasing after it. It ran to a room and slammed the door on the cat's face. And the cat scratched the door with its paw. And five drops of blood or red were found on it. And that's the poison. And once again, we answer that if it's saving itself, that's the same thing as something else trying to save it, and that gets the cat mad, and therefore the poison does come out. And over here, we don't have to ask on the Rabbanon like we did in the previous Lashon, because we just said in this Lashon, the Rabbanon hold that a cat is always diress, even if nothing's trying to save its prey, so therefore no need to ask on the Chamim. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss this, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.